Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 17. Excuse me. I am Big Daddy with my co-host, Faye Elise.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Good to be back, you know, on the radio once again. We got a pretty good show. We got my man, Mickey J. He's a Michael Jackson celebrity impersonator. And he's calling in to talk about that. And, you know, we're going to talk some wrestling. And we're going to get into it. How was your weekend?
Weekend was good. It was the Ring of Honor tryout this weekend. A lot of females came this time. That's a very good look. Like, congratulations to everybody that showed up and gave it their all. Like, even with you just showing up is a forward. So don't think if you got any type of critique or anything that it was negative. Just for the fact that people showed up to the tryouts is like a great look on them. So everything looks like Women of Honor is going to have a bright future. That's for sure.
That's right. That's right. You do have a bright future. And it's good to see more women get involved in wrestling, and they'll bring back the, you know, women's wrestling, you know, because we want to get women, instead of just being side shows and just TNA shows or whatever, and get it back to what it used to be when women actually got out there and wrestled and got it in, you know, and put on good matches. Like, you know, you can thank Bayley and Sasha Banks for that one takeover match where they had, you know, they tore the building down. And there's a lot of good women wrestlers out there that just, you know, are not in the spotlight because you got the TNA show going on. So I'm glad the Bellas, now I said it, I'm glad the Bellas won't be around for a while. So now you get to see some actual women wrestle.
You get to see women's wrestling and not divas. That's the difference.
Exactly, and not divas. We had a loss in the wrestling world, and I'm going to get into this. And I held my tongue for quite a while on this one. I didn't post anything on social media. I didn't say too much because I just really didn't. And I'm going to take this opportunity on my show to talk about it. And some people might get mad what I'm about to say, and some people might agree. I don't know. So it is what it is. But I want to say RIP, rest in peace, to Balls Mahoney. Balls Mahoney was, I'm going to tell two sides of this story, okay? And I hope I don't offend anybody or piss anybody off. I truly don't. But Balls Mahoney that I first met wasn't the Balls Mahoney that I saw towards the end of his career and towards the end of his life. The Balls Mahoney that I first met was at the Monster Factory one particular time. And this was not too long after he had just finished up with Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And he was Boo Bradley. He was a Smoky Mountain, and he came to the Monster Factory and got in the ring with us, and we had a ball. I think one of the best times I had in wrestling was training with Balls Mahoney. I'm not over-exaggerating this or anything. Like, he got in there. We had fun. He's the one that taught me how to do a leg drop, you know, and I've seen him do some stuff in the ring there, you know, even as far as big man psychology and chaining and this, that, and the fourth. And I was very happy with, you know, with him and how he came around and encouraged the young guys, which was cool. And you could see how much he really loved wrestling and how he was with the other boys. It was one great big party every time he came down to the factory. We did a show in Wildwood, at the Wildwood Convention Center. It might have drew like 2,500 people. Like, some people say 3,000, some people say 2,500. But there was a lot of people in there. And he was on the show. I forget who he wrestled. He might have wrestled his boy Wild Bill. I don't remember exactly who he wrestled, but just me and Aaron were doing the Himalaya Players, and we wrestled Headbangers on the show. So it was a big show, and Headbangers were the tag, the WWE Tag Team Champions at the time. So, excuse me, it was a big deal. After the show, myself and my former wife had went out for the evening. You know, I was all jazzed up. And in fact, you know what I'm talking about. Once you get done with a show, you want to go hang out, especially if it's a good show, you want to hang out and party. So
Right. That's
what we wanted to do. And we went to a bar where they were at. And Balls was in there. He was playing pool. He was laughing and joking. And he was like the life of this party. And we were having a good time. And those were the fond memories I have of him in the early parts of career. Like, I used to look forward to seeing him. Then before I go to that part, he finally made it to ECW, which was cool, and we were all proud of him. And I actually saw him on an ECW show, like, when he first got in. He wrestled a local guy. And, you know, he went over, and, you know, before he even really got into the whole Balls Mahoney part of it, where he still had the leather jacket on with the leather cap, and, you know, is when the gimmick first started off. So he looked like a biker type of thing when they guess what they were trying to do from the beginning. But, you know, how Police Academy, you know that scene with Police Academy, where he was in the biker bar, the Blue Oyster, So he, I guess he was trying to do a gimmick somewhat similar to that, but he went into his Balls Mahoney character a little differently, and, you know, was all proud of him. So this goes into, like, 2002, where I was working for, maybe 2001, 2002. I was working for LAW at the time with Bay Ragney was the owner. And I wasn't the owner yet. But Bay Ragney was the owner with Lucky Larry and everything, and they did a show down at the 4th and Lombard called the Super Summer Sizzler. This was Bay Ragney's big show for LAW. Excuse me. And he booked Balls Mahoney and Chris Candido. I came walking into the building, and I was happy to see him. So I walked up to him, and long and short of it was, he wasn't too receptive to see me, and he asked me a question which kind of offended me. So I started to see the change then. And then some years go past where I hadn't seen him for a while. And I had to work him for Triple WA. This is my first match in Triple WA was in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and I had to work Balls Mahoney. And Demetrius Arion came with me on the SWO show and asked me, did I want to come in and did I want to work Balls Mahoney? He was like, you know how he wrestles. And I wasn't scared. I'm like, I know Balls. He helped train me. It's going to be a good match. So showed up to the building. Him and I got to talking. And, you know, we had a good conversation. We talked the match out and everything. Everything was cool. So we both went to the curtain. We both were on in the gorilla. If anybody is not in the business, the gorilla means we were standing in front of the curtain ready for our match. So we both was in the gorilla, and I was going out first, and then he was coming out after me. So before I came to the curtain, he hugged me. He said, all right, let's do it. You know, let's have a good match. I said, yeah, we're going to tear the building. He's like, yeah, let's have a good match. And then he said, yeah, we're going to really tear this building down, you big black nigga. Yes, he called me a big black nigger. So right then and there, my body shook like, no, he didn't just call me a nigger, but he did. So we still went out, we did the match, and right after the match, I left, and I was disgusted, because I don't believe, one, I let him get away with it, and two, that he actually said it. But I wasn't going to mess up the show, and I'm glad I held my temper at the time, because I went on to be the Triple WA Heavyweight Champion 3 times over, and I wrestled for Triple WA all the way up until the end of my career. So right then and there, if I'd have lost my temper, I probably would have lost the opportunity. So I see the good part, and I know, as I mentioned, I talk about all the good things, and I think after a while, I don't know what happened with him and what was bothering him deep down inside of him, but he kind of changed. And somebody put on Facebook when they first heard that he died, and I agree with it. I hope he's finally at peace within himself, because I think that he might not have been at peace within himself, and I hope that now he probably is. I don't want to discuss his religious beliefs, but I hope before he closes his eyes for the last time that maybe he made amends with the Lord. Hopefully. Okay? And I'm just putting it out there. Those are my Balls Mahoney stories that, you know, I didn't want to say, you know, off social media, because I didn't want to start a big to-do back and forth, because people use social media and then they want to become bullies, and maybe one of his buddies is there, might want to get upset with what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, I knew 2 sides of Balls Mahoney. I knew the good side, and I was also introduced to the bad side. Oh, the last time I seen Balls Mahoney, he called me fat. So, like I said, good, bad, ugly, whatever it was, I hope he's in a better place, and God bless him. So I got that out.
Yeah. I mean, all you can do is rest well, you know, and, you know, condolences to his family and friends.
Yes. Because I know his buddy Wild Bill is probably really going through it, but he's a trainer at the Monster Factory now, and they were best of friends, him, Candido, and Wild Bill. The 3 of them were the best of friends, and I know he's going through it. And I know, like, I saw a clip of Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore show, and they did, you know, and Tommy talked about him and a bunch of guys in the ring. And Balls went from doing, you know, he had a good career. You know, he did make it to the WWE, you know, twice. A lot of people forget, before he was Balls Mahoney and got into the WWE, before he was in ECW, he was on the WWE roster briefly as Santa Claus, or he was on a Santa Claus gimmick. And he was dressed like evil Santa Claus, and Ted DiBiase was his manager. So he had 2 stints with the WWE, a nice long stint with ECW, where he is an ECW original and was part of the, you know, when they was making their come up, he was there and really tore the building down with Tanaka and another guy who passed away, Axel Rotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he actually main evented an ECW pay-per-view against Rob Van Dam. So he had a very good career, and God bless him. And he did have a young son at home named Chris, and I just hope that, you know, like you said, you know, God, you know, condolences to the family and prayers for them that they be able to get through their loss. So I'm going to take this call.
All right, we got a call.
Hello, caller. This is Big Daddy's Hard Talk.
Hey, what's going on, man?
It's my man, George.
Yeah. How you doing, Trudy?
What's up,
bro? Hey, Trudy, how you doing?
Hi.
Hey, Trudy, I'm going to switch things up. I'm going to talk to you today because your boy over there is on probation this week.
Oh, no. He probation.
He messed up, and I caught it, Trudy. He think he's slick, and I caught it. All right.
What do
you do? Let me tell you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, all right, sure. Play all innocent. Trudy, let me tell you what your boy did, okay? I was up there putting stuff on Facebook about this party, right? My girl's party, right? So I'm putting all the information up, right? Guess who said I'm coming to the party real fast before I finish editing it?
Uh-oh.
Take a wild guess. Who was the first person to say, oh, I'll be there all quick?
Slim Whiskey?
Huh?
Slim Whiskey?
What?
The man
that's talking. I don't know who it was. Yeah, all right.
Okay.
I was like, yo, he think he's slick. It's all right, though. It's cool. It's...
I don't know what you're talking about, brother.
You don't know what I'm talking about. When I put out there saying her party, what type of party it was like a costume party for her birthday and all that. You was the first person to hear and say, yeah, I'll be there. You don't remember
my
that?
My finger slipped.
Huh?
My finger slipped.
It slipped on that mouse? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, let me ask you something. Hey, Trudy, you probably know this. Quick question, right?
Yeah.
I was looking on YouTube, right, and I saw this one girl wrestler, this lady wrestler, and she looked like she's really good. And I found out that WWE signed her, and she's down there, of course, was at Full Sail University down there, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Athena.
Yes.
Oh, man. That girl's really talented.
Yeah, she is. Man.
And I was looking a whole bunch of YouTube videos on her.
Yeah, but she is down there, Athena Reese.
Okay. You know how long they normally stay down there until they get moved up? It's just different for everybody else, right?
It depends on them, honestly. That's what any organization that you train with is like. It could be 6 months, it could be 2 years, it could be 4 years. You never know. It's
right.
Almost like they test your dedication.
Right.
Because
a friend of mine told me even like their mic will work on a mic and still hold them back, right?
Yep.
You know
what
I mean?
Like they need to work on before, you know, they put them in the spotlight. They'll make them work on it.
Oh, okay. I mean, when he was explaining to me because he used to train me. Of course, when I was trying out for wrestling years ago, there was like a small organization in Delaware, and he was telling me about it. He said, "Yeah, just simple mic work can still hold you back. You can be great in the ring, but if you." Some places you're just not going to that microphone. It's just, you know, downhill, of course, right?
Well,
yes.
The thing about microphone techniques is not everybody needs to be a great talker. I mean, for some people, that's what managers are for. They have the manager. And then for other people, depending on your look and your personality, you don't need to talk. Matter of fact, there is a girl that came to the Ring of Honor tryouts this weekend, and she is very similar to Chyna as far as the build. Like,
mm-hmm.
Very, very, like, bald, you know, a little hard in the face, but she is attractive. But
so later on, so later on she'll do porn,
at
right?
The same time.
When it came to her promo work, like, she doesn't know how to talk at all. And, you know, they're giving her different techniques on, you know, things like how to make her. She looks like a character, but she just cannot talk. And
so
I pulled her to the side, and I was like, you look like the person that doesn't need to say anything. Your actions on your face can say a lot without you saying a word, so work on that.
Right. Right.
Not everybody talks.
Yeah. Okay, so you're trying to say later on, God forbid, years later she gonna do porn too?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. No.
No, I'm kidding. But no, seriously though, Big Daddy, I should have bet you. I was meaning to tell you, I should have bet you when I told you the night after WrestleMania about Zack Ryder.
Yes, you were right.
And I'll
eat that one. You were absolutely right.
Because you think about, of all the champions they had, he was the one most likely going to lose. You know what I mean? But it pick up steam a little bit, man. You know what I mean? It's starting to be enjoyable now. Even when I'm watching SmackDown now, you know what I mean? So it's starting to pick up a little bit of steam right now. Like, these call ups are really helping them out, which finally, you know.
And you know what? I totally agree with what you're saying, and I just hope they don't screw it up. With them pushing AJ the way they did, I liked it. I just don't want Roman to squash AJ. If you're going to do it,
yeah,
do it right. When they called up Enzo and Big Cass,
yeah,
I even popped. I'm like, okay, these guys busted their behind. Got it. NXT. Now they want to make
it.
You said Carmella.
Why they called up those two, but they didn't call up Carmella? Because she's a part of that clique, too.
You could say the same thing
about Bayley.
Yeah.
And Bayley still hasn't made it to the main roster either.
You could say the same thing about Bayley. But I was ecstatic when I saw Ken Anderson and Gallows. Oh, well, I was ecstatic. I was like, it's about time.
Yep. And so you do have the image of the Bullet Club in the WWE now. Now, if they put them all together, that'd be the best for business to put them all together, because I heard a rumor about them versus the Shield and putting the Shield back together. That's what I heard, but we'll see what happens. But I think that would be cool.
Well, I think it was kind of cool.
Yeah,
I think it'd be kind of cool if when Seth Rollins come back, it'll be probably around summertime, SummerSlam maybe. Seth Rollins be back. He'll probably be back before then. But, you know, have, you know, a rematch from, what was it, WrestleMania 31, them three guys, him, Brock, and Roman, you know, that would pick up a lot of money, you know, if you had them three
and
guys.
And have a full-length match, that'd be cool, instead of just, you know, him coming in at the last minute, because he was so quick with it, but actually having a full-blown match with him, Reigns, and Brock Lesnar, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he was there. Were you at the last Rumble they had in Philly?
No, I wasn't there. I watched it.
Oh, okay. I mean,
it was a hell of a match.
It was, and I mean, that was the first time my girl, she went to a show, and she was, well, of course she was only there to see The Rock, of course, but she had a good time regardless, you know what I mean? She tried to throw her draws, but I caught it before it went out there. So,
stupid.
But look, man, I appreciate you talking to me, but brother, you still on probation no matter what. I got to keep an eye on you.
I don't know why you acting like that. You ain't got to act like that.
Dude, you could at least waited a day, you know, maybe even an hour. You clicked on it before I finished editing it. You know what I'm saying? I was like,
no,
I told
you. It.
It's cool. I hope you come, man. I hope you come, but I mean, you're just going to have to watch from the next room through an open door, but I'm just saying.
Right.
But no, we got to get ready for this weekend, man. It's going to be a lot going on this weekend. She's doing the last minute preparations for me this weekend. She said she got surprises for me, so I'm already scared. So
it should be good. I wish I could make it down there, but it should be really good.
Okay. Y'all just pray for me, and there's like $300 in my account. Make sure you get it to my sister, okay? All right? Because I don't know what she got to. But,
stupid. I know what you're talking about. He threw a Martin line in there.
No, I had to. I was watching Martin this week, and look, it's $300 in my account, and I'm looking across, and I see Thomas Hearn.
$300
in my
account.
Hey, yeah,
I'm a diehard Martin fan, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Hey, are they bringing him back? They said they're supposed to bring Martin back.
That was a rumor.
That was
an internet
rumor.
Been talking about that for years. Been talking about
Ashanti was
supposed to be Gina.
Yeah. Yeah. What's Ashanti gonna do with old man husband like him? Oh well. Oh well. I got a better chance of playing Tommy. You know. So I don't know what to tell you. No, a lot of people don't know I have a job. But anyway, I'll see y'all, man, and I'll hit you up next week. All right. Next.
All right.
The 25th. Yeah.
Yeah, we appreciate you calling, and call in whenever you want.
All right, no problem. Y'all have a great night.
You too, Joey. All right,
bro.
Bye.
Faithful call every week, my man George. And shoot, as soon as
you
put it
you're
up,
on punishment, as he says.
Yeah, I commented on it. Shoot, I'm going to try to make it to that, John. Damn right. Anyway.
Good.
we're going to take this commercial break. And when we come back, Mickey J should be calling in. This is Big Dave's Hard Talk, Volume 17.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings of top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles. For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name. Selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at trashcity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom, we are online only. Visit us at trashcity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beats.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson with TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromhomes.
Well, we're back. We just got through with the 10-hour commercial box.
Yes.
That they make us do every week. Now, the next, excuse me again, I'm sorry, I keep coughing. I got allergies, and these allergies are really starting to bother me. But next brother I'm bringing on, I like to bring on people that have interesting stories to them and that does things that's outside of the box. Like, anybody can sing, anybody can rap, anybody can do anything. But when you find somebody who does something different, who follows their mind, and not afraid about, you know, anybody saying anything about them, and they do what makes them feel good and does it well, I enjoy putting them on and allow for them to talk and speak and, you know, talk about what they do. So, Mickey J, I'm glad that you're able to make it on the show today. You are a celebrity impersonator as well as, you know, an entertainer. And we just want to talk about, you know, what you do and how long you've been doing it and, you know, let you talk about what you do, bro.
Thank you. Hi, Big Daddy. Hi, Trudy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I just want to thank you, too, for the opportunity of having me on the show to give my story, my tribute, and traveling, doing my good destiny throughout the world. I just really want to thank you both for the opportunity. And
we want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the show. Like, we want to thank you for actually doing this. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. Well, I've been doing this so long, for over 20 years. Excuse me, for over 20 years, and it really started back here, actually. From a lookalike contest that was broadcast in Philadelphia, Evening Magazine. You remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Evening Magazine. Yeah, it started from them. And it was me and about 20 guys. And I was the only one that did a slow song, Lady in My Life. I'll never forget that. And that's what got me.
I like that
put
song.
On a team. I know, right? And everybody was looking like, Lady in My Life, slow song. But I won out of all those guys that put me to different talk shows, radio shows, and then promoters came sorting me out, wanted me to go on a Michael Jackson Thriller tour and tribute to him himself. And I started doing that for over 11 years. And, I mean, me and Michael had our touching agreements and stuff like that. So I feel good doing what I do.
So you
do
actually met Michael?
Yeah, because he had to. Yeah, because it was a serious tour. I was on with an entourage of about 20 of us on the road. So he needed to know who I was and bring it on. So he found out that we had the same weight, height, bone structure, and that's when he ranked me the number one in the world, and he blessed our tour.
Really?
And yeah, and he helped us along with it. Came to see me perform. So I really feel honored to still be doing this, and it's because of the fans, because of all of you, that I do what I do, because I enjoy seeing people happy. It became a part of me, another part of me.
Mm-hmm.
Besides
that's a Michael Jackson song too, ain't it?
Yeah, right. And if you slice the song, part of me, it's really.
I love that song.
Yeah. I know, right? I love that song. So this have really
so Mickey,
became.
Mickey.
Yeah.
Mickey,
yes.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What was it like? What was it like standing in front of Michael and talking to him and like, you know, showing him that you were honoring him? Like, what was that like?
Mind-blowing. Because here I am.
I believe it.
Me. Yes, me standing in front of someone so big, so great as Michael, the greatest entertainer in the world. And for him to give me that honor and respect, I was in tears because I really couldn't believe, you know, all that was happening in my life. And then for him to recognize it, mention it on TV, do an interview of him and I brushing across each other, meeting, it was really, I feel really blessed. I really feel loved. I feel blessed. I thank God for the fans and still follow, adore, and love me. And I'm not an egotistic guy. I just love what I do. I love making people happy.
Well, Michael made people happy.
Go ahead, Trudy, go ahead.
I said Michael made people happy. Like, people appreciate and love his music. Like, I can listen to his music at work all the time and be dancing around. And it's just a connection with Michael Jackson and just feeling, just being happy. Feeling warm, like he's one of the best entertainers ever. Like top of the list, Michael Jackson method.
You know what, Trudy? You are so right, and it's an honor. It's amazing how people still love him today. Like, I perform all over the world. I do all sorts of events, affairs. From I do birthday parties from kids of age 1 to 100, it doesn't matter. The age is just a good feeling when I really see the effect that this all has on the little ones to the middle age to the older adults. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. I mean, people crying and grabbing and just wanting to touch Michael Jackson, and it feels good. I'm Michael Jackson at that time. It's like his spirit overcomes me, and that's
you're right.
I'm
gonna tell this quick story of last summer. Mm-hmm. I had my stepson, and I'm a huge Janet fan. Like, I love Janet Jackson, and I was talking to him about a couple of Janet Jackson songs, and he says, "Who's Janet?" And he's 10 years old. He's like, "I've never heard of Janet Jackson." I was like, "Have you heard of Michael Jackson?" He's like, "Of course." So I know Michael Jackson. I'm like, "Well, it's his baby sister, Janet." But it's amazing how he didn't know who Janet was, knew who Michael Jackson was.
Yes. And, you know, that's amazing, hey. Trudy. I see it so many times. It's beautiful.
Hey, Mickey.
Huh?
We have a caller. We have a caller, so I'm going to put the caller through. They want to ask you a question, okay?
Yes. Okay.
Go ahead, caller. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Big Daddy's Heart Talk. We got Mickey J on the line.
Okay.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Who's this? We have a caller. Who am I speaking to?
This is Deanna.
Hi, Deanna. How are you today?
I'm good.
That's good. What did you want to ask me?
I wanted to ask you, how long have you been on tour for?
Over 12 years. And then I constantly go back and forth. I take a little break. And, you know, my whole entertainment professional career was over 20 years, but I've been on tour, like a Thriller tour, for over 11, 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting, David. I mean, Mickey J.
Oh. So, did you want to ask me anything else?
No, I'm just so glad that you get a chance to be on the radio. Yeah, and I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, thank you. Me too. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure looking for you. And I love you more.
All right, well, thanks for calling in, Deanna. We appreciate it. And please call the Big Day Heart Talk Show anytime you want, okay?
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, now what were you saying, Mickey? What were we talking about before she called? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yes, and Michael. And we get three-year-olds, and they get up there. They're not afraid, and they're dancing and singing when I grab the mic. And they just, I mean, they just give it all. They just give it their all. And they weren't even born when Michael was alive, you know, and it's amazing. It's
right.
Yes.
It touches everything.
And that's the thing. And that's the thing about Michael and his music, that it went from, you know, you can enjoy his music from different genres. And
right.
You can't find one person that can't find a Michael Jackson song that they didn't like. Like, everybody likes some Michael Jackson song at one time. You understand what I'm saying? And I totally agree and feel what you said about wanting to make people happy. And
right.
I can really appreciate that, because when you entertain people and you're making them happy, it makes you feel better because you're doing your part.
Absolutely.
And I want you to keep it up. Like, you know, well, you keep doing what you're doing. And do you have anything in the future coming up? Like, if anybody wanted to come see you perform, do you have any dates, any gigs coming up or anything?
Thank you. Yes, April 30th, I have a show coming up where I'll be performing live with a band, and there'll be other entertainment on that show as well. So I have some surprises and some good things, projects coming up. I'll definitely let you know.
Okay, that's it. Keep us in the loop, and, you know, whenever you got something up, we'll definitely put it on the air and plug it. And I've been talking to your niece, and her and I are really good friends. I love her to death. Felicia Brown, that's my girl. That's my buddy. That's my friend. We get along like oil and water at times, but, you know, I'll do anything for her, and she'll do anything for me. I want you to perform at a Sixers game. Like, I really do, like, at a halftime show, because I've seen you perform, and I've seen some of the stuff that they had going on at halftime, and I think you would be so much better than what I've seen down there. So I really do want to help you, and I want you to get out there, and I really want that to happen.
Man, I would love that, really.
So that's going to be my mission.
Coming.
What'd you say, Trudy?
The day that happens, I'm coming.
All right. You won't be disappointed.
Oh, I know.
Thank
I won't.
I'm looking forward to it, really. Not really looking forward to it. And
so, Mickey, I'm not going to take up no more of your time. I appreciate you calling. Brother, God bless you. God bless everything you're doing. Keep up the good work. Like I said, when you get dates come up, please let us know. We'll have you back on. We definitely want you to come back on whenever. And
thank you.
You know, keep doing what you do, bro, and you know, keep representing, man. That's all I know.
Thank
I can say the same thing, but I just totally love when people find something and they do it. You know, because so many people talk about what they want to do, but it's hard to find somebody who actually will do something that they love to do. And that's what you're doing right now, and I'm glad that you're making people happy doing something that you love to do.
Thank you. I love you too, guys. Thank you.
And we love you.
And we love you. And God bless. And like I said, love to have you back, okay?
And you too, keep up that great work too. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.
Excuse me. That was cool. That was really cool. Like, I got so much respect for people that do that, man. I really do. It's like when I had Eric Moran on the cosplay. You know, it's just when you like doing something, just do it. We're wrestlers, and we became wrestlers because we liked wrestling. We were wrestler fans, and we decided to do it. We both are actors because we liked acting. It's something we like to do, and we decided to do it. Now, as far as, you know, the modeling stuff, I'll let you have that. But I know you enjoy modeling, and you can take me to do it. You know, just better not end up on Blacktail Magazine or nothing like that. But yeah.
Like, he does it to a T.
Yeah. And you know how hard it is to watch somebody. You watch them, you practice it, you get it down like that. You know how many times he had to rehearse and really put himself into it and put his money and his time and his energy into it. It's a great thing. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And I'd love to have his brother come back. And like I said, one of my missions in 2016-17 is to get that brother to perform at halftime at that Sixers game. Because when he does, I'm going to stick my chest out like I made sure that happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted him to be down there. He's down there now, and you know, he's showing off for everybody. And I'm really going to work on that. So, anyway, relationship question of the week. And this is not really a relationship question. This is a question about parenting. Now, I'm asking you, I know you don't have any kids yet, but let's just say, I know what you're going to say already, but let's just say you're out with your career, your Tyler Perry calls you up, wants you to do a movie and wherever, and you got kids, and you're not going to be home anytime soon, and your career is so busy that you really can't take care of your kids like that. Would you give custody of your kids to their father?
That's actually a good question. Would I have to?
Well, yeah. You're busy. You're getting your career off the ground. You know what I'm saying? You have no time to really put into these kids. He's there. He got the kids. He's getting the kids up in the morning. He's taking them to school. He's doing this and that. He comes to you and says, look, Faye, Trudy, whatever name you want to use. I got these kids. I'm doing this today. You're busy with your career. Let me have full custody. What would you say?
I think I would do it.
We got quiet.
I would do it, but I don't want him coming for me for like, oh, I'm going to take you to court and then you got to pay me child support. Because regardless, if I'm trying to get my career off the ground, and let's say like I'm getting paid a lot to get to do this movie, like Tyler Perry, he pays well. So, of course, I'm going to take care of my kids. I'm going to send them what they need, even if they're not around me. But don't make it mandatory that I have to send you something. Like, you already know that's a given. It's going to happen.
But women do it to men all the time.
Well, because a lot of women that do that are petty anyway. I hate to say it. Because
I'm gonna be real with you. You know, always speak from my personal experiences. But, you know, my daughter, you know, my previous marriage, and she took me to court before I was even able to screw up. I couldn't even screw up. Before I was able to screw up, she was putting the man in the middle of it. Now, when she did that, was that the best thing that could have happened? Yeah, I loved it. Do you want to know why? They were taking the money right out of my paycheck. It was what it was. I didn't miss it. I didn't have to worry about it. And her and I are cool, and we're still cool to the day. It is what it is. But what I'm saying is, I didn't even get that chance. It was automatically saying, okay, well, we had joint custody, but you're going to pay X amount of Z amount of dollars. But if we could have talked about it and worked it out first, maybe we didn't have to go through the maze to do that.
Right.
But she wasn't even willing to do that. She went right to the man. So
well,
I'm saying that
like,
to say.
But, you know, when it comes to that, a lot of women are petty. Like, it didn't work out. Oh, we have this child. Oh, we're going to, well, you owe me child support automatically. Like, you don't even give the man a chance to be there in the child's life. Like, it is a lot of guys out here that don't take care of their responsibility. So when it comes to child support, you find that man, you know, do what you got to do. Take him to court, get that child support order. But if your relationship doesn't work out, and but you know that he still want to be around, even if he comes by once every weekend. He comes on a Saturday, takes his son, takes his daughter to go shopping, go get clothes, and go get shoes, and take them out to eat, and ask you if you need food for the house for their lunch or whatever. But you still go and get child support, an order of child support. That's not right. When they're already doing what you're supposed to. And that's what I'm saying. Like if the role was reversed, and I'm out doing movies and this, that, and the other, like, I would already be, because it's my motherly instinct, I would already be taking care of my children without me being there. So don't go to court trying to get more money, because I don't know the money ain't for you. That's one thing I don't like about child support. How do I know that money ain't for you?
Support is supposed to be for the child.
The support is not supposed to be for the grown-ass person.
Well, I hope there's some women listening right now. Because trust, believe, there's a whole bunch of women that's taking the child support and going getting their hair and nails done.
Yep.
Get the child support money and get a new pair of shoes and this, that, and the fourth. And I can go further with it, but I don't want to put too much of my business out there. What the hell is my show? So I'm going to do it anyway. My daughter will come stay with me for the summer when she was in middle school and possibly like the first couple years of high school. My daughter would come to stay with me for the entire summer. I'm talking like the week after she got out of school to the week before she had to go back. She lived with me. Them child support checks still continue to come out my check. Still continue to come out my check the entire summer.
Well, that was on you. You were supposed to go to court and say, look, I have my child for the summer. And then they would have stopped that.
And I could have. And I really could have. But I didn't. Well, know why? Because I didn't want to upset the boat or rock the boat or nothing like that. I just let it happen. And this happened for at least 2 to 3 years. So you can't tell me if the child physically is staying with me, she still was getting broke off at that time. It was like $120 a week. So what are you doing with that $120 a week if the child's with me? Exactly.
Yeah, right.
But like I said, her and I get along. We're cool. We're fine. I didn't argue it because I just wanted to keep everything going the way it was. I didn't want to upset or rock the boat.
You know who you call in about this topic?
Who?
Yo, player from the Himalaya friend, Slim Whiskey. I know he's listening. Or maybe not. He working, right? He were being a teacher now.
Well, he had a slight emergency. And you know what? You keep talking. I'm going to send him a text real quick. You keep talking. I'm going to send him a text TV call. Go ahead. Talk about sex for a little bit longer.
Okay. Well, I mean, like I said, I even seen a case, even touching on what your situation, I had seen a case on Judge Judy, because I'm an avid Judge Judy watcher. And the father had his daughter, who was 16, 17 years old, got her every summer, and decided to sue his ex-wife for the couple months that he was spending for it that was going to her. And then, you know, Judge Judy asked the mother, like, what are you doing with the money if the child is staying with her father over the summer for these 3 months for the past 2 years? And she would say, well, my daughter has medical bills, or my daughter has, like, you know, I got electricity bills, and I got to take care, like, I got to pay rent to provide a roof over her head. And Judge Judy said, what are you, like, why, like, are you working? And she said, yes. And Judge Judy was like, well, if you're working and the child stays with you, that is on you, not the father. to provide a roof over her head if she is living with you. So why are you using the child support to pay for the electricity when that is your responsibility? It would be different if you guys were living together, but you're not. The child support is supposed to go to the child. So why are you taking money? It's your daughter to pay it back.
We have a caller on the line, and it's about to get hot. And it ain't Slim Whiskey yet. There's someone else that I know has an opinion about this. Lady T, you're on the Big Daddy Hard Talk. I know you probably heard the question, so go ahead and give us your opinion.
Actually, I didn't. If you could repeat the question quickly, I heard the answer. What do you do with the funds if the child is not there?
Pretty much. All right, it started, okay, the question started with, if you're busy with your career and your the baby's father wanted full custody, would you grant it to him? And then it went to the child support part of it. Katrina said, yeah, I would give him full custody, but I don't want him asking me for child support. And that's
well,
what
no,
I had
on that
said,
part, I think
women have been doing that for years.
No, but I think that should go both ways. If I'm out working and you have the child, then yes, I should be able to send you monthly checks or whatnot. But then the question came up where you said that you were still paying support and the child was with you. What's the mother still doing with the money? And I guess that's a double-edged question too, because her bills still go on. She still needs a roof over her head. She still has to get the child stuff for school, or that's where communication comes in between you and the mother. Hey, I have her during the summer or whatever. How about you send some of that back to me? She still has to eat. She still has to do that. So it still is communication between you two. It shouldn't have to go into a court for you to decide who's going
to
pay rent and who's going to buy the food. That makes no sense to me. At all, especially when you two, and I just know, for example, I just know this particular situation, if y'all were amicable and y'all were speaking, it shouldn't have to come to all of that. And then you should have spoke up. Big Daddy, you should have spoke up. Okay, I do have her over the summer. She's not eating air. You need to at least give me half of it back, or I'll go get her clothes or something, or reimburse it or something.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I did not want to cause a rift. Even though we were talking, even though we were cool with one another and we got along, I didn't want to cause a rift because I know as soon as I asked for that, it would have led to something else. One. Two, the next thing that would have been said was, well, I still got to pay electric. I still got to pay my mortgage. I still got to do this or that. But that's still not my problem. You understand what I'm saying? Because
I do.
And that's why I didn't say, I said, okay, I'm going to let this go. And like I said, towards the end when I needed her to help me, she did help me. And I appreciate that. So I'm glad I kept my mouth shut when it's all said and done. Because if I would have came at her then, when I needed her towards the end, she would have said, screw you.
Well, there
so
you go.
I'm
it's
glad.
A case-by-case situation. Not everybody had the luxury to do that maybe like you did.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I just put my personal thing on it, just saying that it was summers where that money continued to come. I know I paid more than just for the rent and just for electric. I'm pretty sure I paid for some shoes. I'm pretty sure I paid for her and her man to go out to dinner. I'm pretty sure I paid for her to get a nail done. I'm pretty sure I paid for the big girl convention that she was going on. I'm pretty sure I paid for the I'm pretty sure
okay,
I paid
Big
for...
Daddy, Big Daddy.
You ain't
great,
for that.
Great. We get the point.
All right, I'm just saying.
We get the point.
It wasn't all going towards the rent and her school clothes because I was even buying her some of her school clothes, including her sneakers. And to be more real, she was getting her school clothes because she owned them. Her mom was going to Kmart to get the joint, not Kmart, Walmart to get her school clothes. So she wasn't spending that much money.
Understood.
But
again,
I
think that, yeah, please stop digressing.
Right. I know with my experience with child support child, like when I was coming up, my father was ordered to pay child support because basically he wasn't around, so his money was gone. When I was the age of 16 and I had a car, I had, you know, I got some gas in the car. ATM card, here you go. And I was like, what is this for? I didn't have a bank account at that time. She was like, this is your father's money. She gave the card
okay.
to me. She got me loaded that my dad was paying weekly. It was kind of like a monthly allowance. But I, like, the clothes that I had to go and buy, or, you know, if I need a maintenance on the car and things like that. But I know there's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of parents that wouldn't do that, but my mom stressed me to do the right thing with my father's money. And it only lasted a year because once I turned 17, I graduated out of high school. And then here's the way from high school, that's it. But for that year, I was able to do what I needed to do to prove to her that I was becoming a responsible, you know, teenager at
that
time.
I hear you.
Well, at least you're a good parent. You did support. Some people don't even do that, so this is a moot point to a lot of people, but good conversation. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you, Lady T.
For calling in,
all
Lady
right.
T. To hear from you.
Thank you. Enjoy.
All right, I did text Slim Whiskey. He's with his, talking about child support and somebody taking care of their kids. He's with his youngest daughter right now and really can't get away to get on the phone. So there's another man that went to go take care of his kids, and he's busy right now. But on that note, we're going to wrap up this episode of Big Daddy's Hard Talk. This was a very good show. I appreciate my man Mickey J calling in. Please call again, brother. Let us know what's going on. Thank you, George, for calling in. Thank you, Lady T, for calling in. And I forget who the other girl, forget her name. But appreciate her calling in to talk to Mickey J. Next week, we'll be back on again, volume 18. I got another special guest I got lined up. I don't want to give too much away now. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully I can bring him on. He has a lot to talk about, so hopefully he can clear a couple minutes of his busy schedule to come on the show. Anything you want to talk about, Trudy, before we go?
Nope. Just I'm out here hustling real hard, hustling. Every day I'm hustling.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling.
Yeah.
So
that's about
anyway,
it.
Everybody out there, just keep Big Daddy in your prayers. I started physical therapy today. Yes, I go 3 times a week, so pretty soon I should be up and walking again and doing what I need to do. So on that note, there's 3 different types of people in the world, those who don't know what happened, those who wonder what happened, and people like Big Daddy and Faye Elise, Faye Jackson, Samuel L., the illegitimate daughter, who make things happen. God bless you all.
Great.
Hold on a second. Hold. Hold on 1 second.
Uh-oh.
You got a caller that came in late.
Uh-oh. Just in the nick of time.
Hello, caller?
Hello?
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 Okay.
Caller, are you there?
All right. I guess they couldn't hear me. So, what was I saying? 3 types of people in the world, those who don't know what happened, those who wonder what happened, people like Faye Elise and Big Daddy that make things happen. God bless you all, and good night.
All right. Bye.